Hi, everybody. It's Diane. It is Thursday, January 8th, and we are the first session of the new year with the 8 p.m. on Thursday group. I've got Laura, Heather, Lana, Terry, and Paulette so far. Let's start with a quick check-in. How did things go over the time off of school and holidays? And how things been going since the last session? We've been working on perspective, I think.
Well, this is Terry. We actually had great holidays. We kept it low stress, low expectation. I'm happy with how things went.
Awesome.
This is Paulette. We were sick throughout the holidays, through the Christmas, and I found that it was just a lot of time off, and she really went kind of down in another place of non-activity, and we probably should have done more physical activity or something. And it was, of course, we were sick, but it was kind of a long time. So I'm glad school's back and et cetera.
Well, and sometimes it's hard when the energy is so low to kind of like, I want something to change, anything to change. It's
right.
So I can understand. So well, did you focus in on anything since the last call, Paula?
Kind of not. Kind of took the break, especially, and we were just sick and stuff, so I didn't really focus on too many things besides getting better.
Well, and sometimes it's fun to take a break from the work that we do really does feel like work, and so having a vacation from the tools and the tricks and the perspectives, especially if you don't have homework and things like that to deal with, or emotional intensity or anything to deal with, it can make it easier. So cool. Well, are you feeling better, Paulette?
Yes, I am. Although I got a call today from the doctor that says she is low on hemoglobin, so maybe that's why she's tired too. So little things.
So I see that Christina joined us, and Heather, that you fell off the back with us. I'm glad. Who else wants to do a quick check-in?
Hi, this is Laura, and the holidays were good, but this week back to school has stopped it, and I'm at a loss. I don't know the best way to advocate for my son right now. I think we are coming up against a big confrontation with school. And I feel the things that I focused on. I missed the last call, and I have to say I really missed you guys. Like I got a lot out of this, and then when I wasn't able to come last time, that really realized how much I got out of it. But I've been focusing on myself. Actually, I've gotten myself back into therapy and that's been helpful. That has been helping me to, monitor my own reaction, stuff like that. That is amazing. Better.
It's good for you for taking some action there. I know it's hard, and this first week back to school can be really a hard one. And I know for a lot of you who don't, we ended the semester in December, and so we got grades today, and you guys have, many of you have, still a couple weeks here to wrap up the semester, and it's really can be trying to get through the holidays and then try to jump back in because you're not just jumping in fresh, you're jumping in with trying to wrap up the semester, and so it can be a pretty exhausting time of the year. So good for you for taking care of yourself well. Hey, somebody just joined us.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi.
We're just still doing our check-in. So who else wants to check in from the holidays or anything that you guys have been focused on successes, challenges, those sorts of things?
hi, this is Lana. We actually had a good vacation. We went away, and so we really got a nice break from the routine of life. It was an adventure. But, you know, coming back, we have those 2 weeks left of the semester, and we learned that our son had a lot of D's in his classes just before we left. And, you know, he's gone from having a more successful first quarter with B's and C's. And, you know, we learned that he's been not doing his homework in a couple of different classes. And yet he's been telling me all along that he's getting all his work done. So it was kind of a big shock and a challenge to our trust in him. And it's creating a level of some major stuff is going on in the house now. So it's like,
but it can
10
really
days away was great.
Yeah, well,
sorry?
So it can be really frustrating and confusing as to why, you know, what's going on. And so I'm going to challenge you to take that situation potentially into the conversation today. The topic's going to be about curiosity. I think it might be a really good issue to get curious about if
mm-hmm.
you're willing to make it. So think about that.
Okay.
Who else wants to check in? Nobody else. Heather, how are things going for you guys?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got cut off and then got back. I don't know. I'm having drama with my phone. Sorry. We had a really good Christmas break. We also went on a vacation, and it went really well. So I was excited about that. The week after was kind of drama, I think, from all the stimulation maybe. This week we've gone back to school, and today was really good. We homeschooled, so it's a little different than y'all's situation, but the first few days were rough, just getting everybody back on schedule and, you know, having to get back on a routine and stuff. But I don't know. The thing that I mostly always am focusing on and aiming at in general is just motivating him every day to get his schoolwork done. And, you know, I guess it's no different than kids that go to public or homeschool. It's the same thing. And then just constantly working on his anger issues. So that's just kind of what we do every day, every week, more or less.
So what did you try recently that you've been particularly pleased with how it's been working?
Well, a week or so ago, somebody on the Impact website or wherever I was on the Facebook recommended a book to read, and I've been reading that. And it's actually helping. We've only identified one problem, which is something he has with school that he has a struggle with, which is his reading. But I went through the process of the book and did it the way that they recommended and got to the issue. And we collaborated together, as the book tells you, and created a plan. And that's actually helped big time this week. So now I am going to work through different things in that manner, if that makes sense.
It does. People are going to be curious. What was the name of the book?
The book was called The Explosive Child. And basically, I mean, you have to really read it. It's a lot of detail. Maybe some of you have. But anyway, I've always tried to get to the heart of the matter and get with him and find out what's going on. He's very sensitive and how he has lots of feelings to share. But a lot of times what I do is I have it all figured out, or I have the solution, which is what causes a lot of his frustration. And in that, the book was saying to collaborate and come up with, you know, sharing your concerns on top of theirs and then coming up with a solution that you can work out together. And so we did that this week with his roommate. That's what causes the most frustration for him as anything. And I shared mine, he shared his. We got to the point of it all, like the book says, and then we came up with a plan. And that's been working really great this week. So I think the book has a lot of wisdom and has a lot of, it makes a lot of sense. It's just taking the time to work on that through their issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it sounds like it having just having a framework, and I think that that's fabulous. If it's working for you, it's kind of like, okay, what do I do? And so now you have a process
right.
that you can go to that'll help you to do it. So that's great. And thank you for sharing the name of the book with others, because there may be other folks on this call. And I will write that down as well, because I have a couple of other families that have explosive kids that might really benefit from that book. So thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really good, the science behind it, or like his theory behind it and stuff. It's very good read.
Great. Okay, so one, I think there's a few folks I haven't heard from yet. Christina or Lisa, I think I haven't heard from either of you.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. I sometimes turn the mute button on so you don't have to hear the chaos over here, and then I forget to turn it back off again and then start talking, and like no one can hear me. Break was quiet. We didn't really do much. You know, I had a little bit of visit from family and a little one day out of town. So that was, yeah, it's a little hard without the structure for both of us. What's been interesting for me the last couple days is that Ben, who's, you know, in his first month at this school for kids with learning disabilities, is, you know, everything was really kind of hunky-dory the first month, and I knew it wasn't going to stay that way. You know, they were just getting to know him, and he was sort of enjoying his new friends and his success there, but now he's starting to have a little bit of trouble, and they're going to start holding him more accountable for his behavior there, so that's... It's going to get interesting. I'm sure I'll be coming back looking for ideas. Something interesting happened in his after-school Hebrew program in December, and I think I'm just figuring it out. I didn't really know how to respond at the time. I just asked him some questions. I like the be curious approach, because that's what I was trying to do, is just, okay, I'm just not going to try to judge what happened. I'm just going to get a lot of information. And he apparently was being wild during some completely unstructured time, but he was just playing with a friend. They often play wildly. And a teacher didn't know that this was consensual and grabbed his arm and wouldn't let go. And he responded by hitting her hand with his fist quite hard and getting in big trouble for that. And, yeah, at first I was sort of horrified about that, but then sort of talking to people about it, I realized, like, it was this totally unstructured time, which is, you know, and no teacher working with him. He has an extra teacher in his classroom to kind of work one-on-one with him to help him keep focused and regulated. Nobody like that. Just, you know, just asking for trouble, in a sense.
Right.
So I decided that this wasn't his fault. I mean, I told him, yes, you shouldn't hit your teacher, you know, but at the same time, I don't think the teacher should be grabbing your arm if there's not an immediate threat to life or limb going on. There's, you know, there's other ways to redirect him. And I was really pleased with myself for waiting several weeks to talk to the education director about that and finding a way to frame it so that it was sort of positive and win-win, and I got a nice response from her. But mostly just, I'm just glad that I grasped what was happening. You know, I'm finally getting enough of sense of what this means for him to have ADD to understand why he could not keep it together in that situation.
And the curiosity, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, but it's like staying in the curiosity space allowed you to kind of find out more of what was going on, which gave you more options in your problem solving than you might have had if you were like, oh my gosh, I got to fix this right away, this has to change.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, good. All right. Lisa, anything to add before we move on to taking aim? Actually, why don't you go ahead? Do you want to tell us where you want to take aim? You can go first on taking aim.
I don't know, because it's been like a good 2 weeks. You know, like for me, being off from school is the most wonderful time of the year. You know, it's just like, it's such a different, you know, it's just so much less stress, you know, because so much of our stress is around school and getting ready for school and being on time for school and doing homework after school and getting to bed on time. And so, you know, we're just getting back to school and we're still, everything is going really well. So we went away a couple times on break and I just really enjoyed spending time with my son, and we went skiing and ice skating, and I don't know, you know, I don't even know where I want to take aim. I guess I just want to, you know, I want these good times to last, you know. I don't want to stress them out, you know. I hope that we can continue, even though, you know, now we got to buckle down to 6 more months of school. I don't know where I want to take aim. I got to think about it. Sorry.
So what's your biggest anxiety around the next 6 months of school?
Well, one is, you know, he's going, they're, right now they're doing an IEP. They're in the middle of the evaluation. I don't actually think he's going to get it, but that's okay. Then they can always drop it down to the, whatever you call it, the 504. You know, it's just hard. Like, I think his teacher is, like, super pessimistic, you know. Like, he has a special behavior card in school, and so he has it set up so that 3 times a day he'll write down how many times T for talking. And so, you know, I'll come at the end of the day, you know, when I'm not working, and I'll pick him up, and I'll say, well, how many times, you know, how did he do today? Oh, he did okay. He got a couple of T's, but he only got 1 T in the entire day because my son keeps it on his desk. And I don't know. So I guess it's just trying to, you know, I don't know exactly. I just hope that just to keep him on task and just kind of get through this and to, you know, for him to do okay, to get decent grades and to continue to, you know, feel good about himself and have his self-esteem up there. Because when we had the IEP, one of the things the teacher said was, you know, a lot of the, you know, he doesn't have that many friends and the children are starting to notice that he's different. You know, so I just want him to keep up, to have his self-esteem kept up. And, you know, he's kind of oblivious to all of this right now, I think, still. So.
Well, and I'm wondering whether it makes sense, based on what you just said, is, you know, does it make sense to take aim on the relationship with this particular teacher, both yours and his, and rather than make it about him and what's going on with him, maybe take aim on something that's not the two of you for one period of time. Does that resonate?
For me to take aim with my relationship with his teacher?
Your relationship and his relationship. So just kind of really looking at the relationship with that teacher and what the opportunity is there as a place where you take aim. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we could try that. So my relationship with the teacher and my son's relationship with the teacher.
Yep.
Okay.
Which of those two do you think is more important in terms of making a shift?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard because I just don't like that teacher at all. So it's just hard.
Rather than the relationship, what if it became how to really make the best of the situation with the teacher, or how to improve the situation with this one particular teacher, or
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever
okay.
the language that resonates with you.
Yeah, how to improve the situation with the teacher.
Okay. Great. Christina, where do you want to take aim?
Thank you.
I don't know yet. Can I pass and come back?
Yep, you can. Heather.
Okay.
Where do I want to take aim?
Yes, ma'am.
This week?
Yes.
Well, I'm still just going to keep working on, I'm working on a list of, like, difficulties that I have with him, and then I'm just going to, I need to brainstorm it, and then I just want to start working through each one with that process that I'm kind of learning about that I told you.
So can you identify one that will help you to kind of focus in for our conversation today?
Well, this week I'm just taking aim, which I've been doing all week, on getting us back to school schedule, because he doesn't like school, so it's just a struggle every day. So I have to get us back on that routine and structure from being off all month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How does that feel as something to take aim on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'll be doing.
Okay, great. Terry.
I want to take aim on my daughter's relationship and behavior around our dog. We've only had a dog for 2 months, and she loves him, but she's all over him.
Okay.
And hasn't figured out that bringing the dog into a small space with her and kind of trapping him there with her is not something that he enjoys.
Okay.
So when I ask her why, she really doesn't know why she's doing it. So I have, like, no ideas as to how to help her either put herself in his shoes or figure out, you know, that holding him hostage is just not the right way to behave around your dog.
Okay, so you're going to focus in, you're going to take aim on your daughter and her and the way she's interacting with the dog.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Paulette.
Well, since I got the call from the nurse today about her hemoglobin or mild anemic symptoms, I was going to address her thyroid issues by getting her to eat more iron fortified foods and, you know, just kind of just really focus on her diet. She is a vegetarian, so we're dealing with that. And we've been through this once before. She's already been kind of low hemoglobin person, and so I guess I just need to address that physical issue right now is what I'm thinking of. But
so the challenge is that she's anemic and she's a vegetarian, so it's really difficult to find easy solutions to support her. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Lana, what about you?
Sorry, I had to mute. For me, I really need to focus on, it's around this grade situation where, you know, my husband and I have been talking about removing electronics from our son's, after, you know, mostly weekend activity, and we're not in agreement about it. And I feel like the focus is more there than on our son. I guess, you know, just strategizing around his, how we can support him. As a 15-year-old, it's hard. There's not a lot of places where he's letting us in. And even to discuss what's happened and how he can improve. It's kind of confusing.
I'm gonna play with this a little bit with you, Lana, to help you get really clear, because you want to focus in on the challenge rather than the solution. So that focusing on the electronics, that's a potential solution. It doesn't mean we don't want to end up there, but that's not where you want to focus. Is the challenge the grades and how to help him with his grades, or is the challenge what you mentioned earlier, which is the fact that he wasn't able to kind of completely be honest with you about what was going on in the classes?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that, you know, the not being able to be honest with us is kind of part of this whole thing where he doesn't really want to talk about it. Like, you know, we can't talk about it. We can't strategize. He wants to do it himself. You know, he'll listen and nod his head and say, yeah, I'm going to do better or whatever, but he doesn't really want to talk about, like, break it down and try to come to solutions. And
okay, so how does it feel about to take aim on how to handle it when he doesn't want to engage?
I think that's a really good one, but I feel like I'm letting go of the low grades. I don't know.
So if you were to fix the low grades but not address the issue of getting him to engage, Would that be would you prefer that? Or if you dealt with the ability to get him engaged but didn't deal with the grades? So if it was an all or nothing, you had to choose one or the other. Which would you choose? And I'm not saying you have to choose, but if you had to.
Well, I mean, you know, for the sake of tonight, I think I'm more focused on the grades because I feel that the engaging part has to happen over time, and I feel like the grades are really pressing because the quarter's ending. And I do know that he's planning to meet with his learning specialist tomorrow, and they're going to have a 40-minute meeting. And she's been, you know, getting more involved. So I know he's engaging with her.
Okay, so it sounds like you want to take aim on how to tackle the low grades and get help them to get it up for the rest of the semester.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, and Laura, I put you on mute because you were in the car and I could hear some background noise. So, Laura, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Where are you going to take aim?
I am going to take aim on the relationship with the teacher.
Okay.
I really identify with the woman who was talking before. And I think my son has a terrible teacher. I think he has a special ed teacher who doesn't know how to deal with ADHD. And it scares me when I know more about something than the professional. And,
yeah, well, that's a scary situation to be in. Okay. Great.
So that I think there's no way around the confrontation that's going to happen, but I would like to have it to happen in a way that is that benefits everybody, really. You know.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I'm going to put you back on mute for a minute, Laura.
Thank you.
All right. So there was somebody who said that they wanted to pass and come back.
That was me.
Gina? Okay.
Christina. Yeah, I think I need to help my son find some strategies and the motivation to deal with a few of the issues that are coming up with his school. I mean, I'm lucky because the teachers do know how to deal with ADHD there. It's the first time in my life I've seen teachers who know how to do it. But he has some kind of particular issues about being hypoglycemic and resisting eating, and he needs high-protein snacks throughout the day. And no one can get him to eat except my husband and I, and sometimes not even my husband. But he'll melt down in a classroom and start mouthing off to a teacher because he has a kind of reactive hypoglycemia, and he gets really angry and unreasonable. And who can learn like that, you know, much less enjoy their life? So we pack snacks, and it's on his goal sheet, and we have a little watch that buzzes at snack time, and none of it's really helping. He's not doing it. And I'm starting to wonder if I'm going to have to drive to the school at snack time and sit him down in the corner and watch him until his food is gone.
Christina, remind me how old he is?
He's 9 and a half, almost 10.
Nine, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so how does that feel as a place to take aim?
It feels specific enough, I think.
Great. Okay, did I miss anybody? Nope. Okay, great. So tonight we are talking about curiosity. And this is a great tool to use, and I think a couple of you even talked about the fact that you use it already. But the idea of using curiosity as a tool is a lot of times as parents, we get into this mode where we have to fix everything. It's like something we don't want is happening, we got to fix it. And so we go into this kind of cause and effect, get it done, make it happen, and we often get stuck in a particular perspective. And we talked about perspectives a couple weeks ago. We get stuck in a certain rut, or we have a difficult time moving the situation forward. And curiosity, just stopping and asking questions, is something that can really shift the energy in the situation and can also move the situation forward in a very different way. Because when we ask questions and we get curious, a lot of times we'll come up with perspectives and ideas and problem solving that we would have never come up with otherwise. So it's really important to that sometimes we get curious about what's going on with our child. Sometimes we get curious about what's going on with us. And sometimes we actually ask our child what's going on. And sometimes we ask that we don't. We just kind of ponder in our head and say, gee, I wonder what's going on with my kid, because we know that if we ask our kid, it'll trigger them and throw them over the deep end. Sometimes we get curious about a teacher or a co-parent. But really the goal is that instead of kind of just getting into a place where we're judging and trying to get something fixed and moving it forward, that we're stopping and asking a question of ourselves or the situation to try to move things forward. And so on page 35, there's actually a few ideas here about kind of when you might use curiosity. I love to use curiosity when I'm really kind of trying to figure out what's going on with my kid and their ADHD. And so if we talked about naughty versus neurological in a couple of earlier calls, and if we're really trying to look at the neurological part and what might be going on neurologically, really exploring from a curiosity perspective, what might be going on right now? I mean, you were listening to the conversation about food and about how I'm trying to remember. Christina was talking about how when her son doesn't eat, he has a very difficult time paying attention in school. He gets angry and frustrated, and it's really difficult. Well, that's a neurobiology thing that's going on. And so if we can really understand what's going on with our kid, it can make all the difference in terms of the way we approach it. The other time that curiosity can be really helpful is a way to avoid conflict. And so a lot of times, I mean, particularly as our kids get older and older, we end up going toe-to-toe with our kids. And so it's like they're telling you what they want, you're telling them what you want, and it's kind of this back-and-forth sort of he said, she said sort of thing. And what going to curiosity can really change the energy of the situation. So if it's like, why don't you do your homework? I'm not doing my homework. Mind your own business. Leave me alone, Mom. And, you know, if you can find a question to ask, it's like, wow, you really seem uptight right now. What's going on? And if it is a situation where they won't get more triggered by hearing the question, or tell me a little bit more about that. You know, so I was thinking about my son the other night. He really wanted to stay on the electronics a few more minutes, and it was beyond curfew. It was one of those sort of you've got to get off. I was tired, exhausted. And I said, dude, what's going on? It's after curfew. What's so important that you need to be beyond curfew? And he was waiting for a friend who had said that he was going to be back in 10 minutes, and he really didn't want to disappoint the friend by just not being there when he came back. And so it was more about his relationship with this person than it was about the electronics. And so I went, oh, wow, well, I would make a different decision if it's not just about hyper-focus on the electronics. This is really about honoring a relationship that he has. And so it really did open in that situation my ability to kind of problem solve and figure out what was really going on. So curiosity can also disarm defenses. So if you want to try to keep things positive, the example it talks about here is if you're working with teachers or administrators, if you know, the teacher says, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't, you know, we can't do this thing that's in your 504. If you say something like, you have to, this is the rule, it's the law, whatever else, you're going to get a very different answer than, gee, what is it about the 504 that's making it difficult for you to honor? You know, or what, you know, if you look at it from the teacher's perspective, why is it difficult for the teacher? What is it about my kid that's difficult for the teacher to understand? Or what's going on in the classroom that's making it really difficult for the teacher to support my kid the way that my child really needs? Is it a mindset thing? Is it a situation where they just don't understand? Is it a pressure from administration? You know, there's lots of different things that could be going on. But if you start with curiosity and just say, what could be going on here, it really does open you up to a different number of perspectives, which allows you to more broadly problem solve. So one of the other things I just want to highlight about curiosity is that it's really important to ask open-ended questions. And an open-ended question is instead of saying, did you do your homework? You said, which is a yes or no answer, right? Which sometimes you don't get the yes, we don't get the answer we think we're going to get. You ask, what homework have you done? And it is a more open-ended question, and it kind of gives you a different kind of answer, especially when you've got older kids who are more prone to, or short-tempered kids who are more prone to those really quick, snippy answers. Finding ways to ask them more open-ended questions can really open up the doors. So that's my spiel on curiosity. What comes up for you guys as I shared that?
I've had a little bit of training on meeting facilitation, and we talked about this and sort of learned more about it. It was called appreciative inquiry. If anyone just wants to pursue it and learn a little bit more, it's a technique for conflict resolution. Yeah, and it's, you know, just that training yourself to stop asking, what's wrong with you? You know, why the hell did that go so bad?
Right.
You know, putting your slant on the problem and putting the person you're asking on the defensive. It's hard to just, but I've learned, because the training really taught me, you know, if I can just realize where my question is coming from, it's coming from my own, this, you know, my defensive scared place or whatever, it's not going to help things. And just don't open my mouth yet, and just, you know, think of a way to reframe the question. It's really hard, but I have just a little bit of experience with it, and it's a really powerful technique.
Well, and I appreciate what you just said, Christina, because it's really, we've got to be really careful that there's a difference between curiosity and inquisition, right? So it's like, why did you do that? What are you thinking? I mean, those are questions, but that's not the kind of curiosity that we're really looking for in this instance. It's really wanting to find out what's going on. And it's like, wow, this is really interesting. You had a really difficult time listening to me. What? I wonder what was going on with that. Or, you know, my daughter's having a really difficult time not keeping good space with the dog. What's going on for her? And why is it so important for her to be all over the dog all the time? And I wonder what's going on for her. Or, my son's having a really difficult time remembering to eat his snacks during school. I wonder what's going on.
Right.
Anybody else? What comes up to you around curiosity?
This is Laura. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Sometimes I'll ask my son, I know this is usually around homework related. I will say, I would love to help you. Can you tell me how I can be most helpful to you? Let me know what you need, and I'll be here. I'll say, like, he'll have something he wants to tell me but won't tell me, like, oh, I can't tell you. And I'll say, well, I want to know what it is, and when you're ready to talk, I want you to know that I definitely want to hear it. I just try to leave it alone, and then usually he does talk.
But yeah.
I try to, you know, when I'm on, you know, I'm able to give him the power and the responsibility, and those interactions are always better than the other ones.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think makes it easier for you to stay in that more open and curious place?
It has nothing to do with my child. It has everything to do with my stress level and whether I can leave it at the door or not. So therefore, you know, I am, you know, getting help to manage my own stress. You know, I have a child with a disability. Having a child with a disability is having a child, I think, is just impossible. And then adding the challenges of you know, a disability that's essentially invisible, people just think your kid is bad. That's a whole other, I wasn't prepared for that. And I can't deal with him as if he doesn't have that. I like to, you know, sometimes I like, I'll think, I get that, like, magical thinking, like, one good day means it's gone. It's not going to be there again tomorrow. And then tomorrow is like the day before. And it's keeping myself in check and really focusing on him and not not how tired or stressed or the clock, like, what I have to do next.
So. Yeah, and well, and that's I mean, I'm thank you for sharing all that, because I think it's really a difficult thing to do, and kind of you have to, like you said, find ways to put your own stuff on the side. And I think the one thing that we often have to put on the side is the need to solve the problem right away or to fix the situation. And I think that we for most of us, we get into this thing, and we, even if we're not triggered, we're still kind of anxious and frustrated enough that we're like just hitting the balls. We've got to take care of this. We've got to take care of this. This has to stop. This has to be fixed. And it's hard to stay in that space before that, which is to really get curious about what's going on before we try to fix it. What about anybody else?
This is Lana. You know, I've been curious for a while now and have been trying to ascertain what it is for him that has been difficult. That, you know, is it that he's just finding it hard, you know, homework is hard, so he's skipping it, pushing it off. Tonight I did have, you know, we've had multiple conversations over the past few weeks, and tonight he explained to me that if he loses, like if he stops participating in class and paying attention in class, then when he comes home to do the homework, it's hard for him to do the homework because he hasn't really paid it focused in class. And then it's kind of a, you know, circular thing that happens. And then he doesn't do the homework or he doesn't do it well. And then it kind of snowballs from there. So that was really great that he shared that. And he said that now he's really focusing on trying to focus in class and pay attention. So, you know, it seems like there's just so many different aspects of his ADHD or learning differences that come into play that I've really been in a state of kind of confusion of how do I support him. And also, like you were just talking about fixing things, I've really wanted to be fixing things now because – well, oh my God, you know, he's getting several D's and that means academic probation and that means, you know, more of a spotlight on him and the next quarter is going to be pressure and, you know, it starts to kind of grow. And so there's this sense of wanting to get in there and, you know, moments of anger, like, why are you doing this? And how can you let yourself go? Why aren't you being more disciplined? Don't you have any inner drive? You know, there's like this trying to understand and be curious, but at the same time feeling the heat of this pressure of, you know, the quarter's coming to an end and the grades are not there.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. I mean, because there's a lot of fear in this. And for most of us, you know, it shows up as frustration or anxiety, but underneath it, there's probably some real fear. And for most of us, it's not even often like a realistic fear. It's like, if my child gets a D in math, and I'm not saying this is for you, Solana, but it's like, oh, if my child gets a D in math, they're never going to amount to anything and they're going to end up on my couch for the rest of their lives. I mean, we automatically, our brain goes to that worst case scenario. Or, you know, if my kid can't keep his cool with me, how is he going to ever hold on a job because he's going to be yelling at his boss all the time? Well, there's some possibility that that might happen. And so it's a very real fear. And when the fear becomes all-consuming, it's not helping. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, how do you put the fear on the side? And I was talking to a client about this afternoon because the fear is very real and you don't want to ignore the fact that we're, you know, fear is a very normal reaction. But you want to find something that feels a little bit better because the reality is that it's a story. You don't know whether getting the D in math is going to make a difference in you know, whether he's able to be successful in the rest of his life. You don't know whether he's going to yell at his boss 20 years from now and lose his job. I mean, those are things that we're kind of creating stories about. And I don't know if I shared this with you last time, but it's like this, the quote I love is that it's all a story, and if you're going to create a story, you might as well create a story that makes you feel good. And so if you are willing to consider that the world will not end if he has lots of these, how does that help you to solve the problem differently? If you are willing to consider that if there's one teacher that just doesn't get your kid, that the world will not end, how does that help you to solve the problem differently? You know, so it's about finding a perspective, and getting curious can help you to get to that perspective where you can say, okay, I'm willing to consider that this is not a real threat to me in this moment.
So that you can problem solve.
Does that resonate, Laura?
I think that's really great advice. And I think you're able to slow down and kind of give yourself time to problem solve. It's like
right.
You create space.
Right, because you're so panicking. It's like, I've got to fix this. I've got to change this. These D's have to go away. And you'll probably come up with a better solution for the D's in the long run if you can say, okay, what's really going on here? And how can I help instead of how can I fix?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to throw in here to this conversation?
I was listening today to an Attitude podcast, and they had someone on from something beginning with a C, Calm, and he talked about in the homework, you know, maybe it's okay for your kid to take a break from homework now and then, and that no one's ever been able to map success in life to successfully doing all your homework all the time. And I think it's Contemplating Calm is the website in the
celebrating
person.
Celebrating.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, maybe if I did take the pressure off getting homework done all the time and occasionally just took a night off, maybe as a gift to my daughter, or maybe as just, you know what, it's not going to happen tonight. She just can't do it, and we're not going to worry about it. And so what if she gets a 0 on her homework that day? And so what if she gets a C+ instead of a B- because she didn't do her homework X number of times? I don't think her success in life is going to depend on whether she got the C+ or the B-, and I think he was right when he said that.
That's helpful. Thank you.
What was it called? Celebrating what?
Celebrating Calm. Yeah, and there was a podcast on an Attitude podcast. I would say in the last couple months, I was just listening to it today.
He's Kirk Martin. He's one of our experts.
Yep,
that
was him.
He's actually doing, I don't know how many of you, a couple of you are in Atlanta. He's going to be here in town, I think, later this month. I think we're sending out an email, so keep an eye out for it. He's really great. Great conversation. All right. What comes up for anybody else? Curious what you think about curiosity.
Well, this is Terry, since no one's going, I will. So,
okay.
I think that figuring out why she loves the dog and she wants him with her, I know that. But why she thinks, or how she thinks, that trapping him with her in a relatively small space is okay. And I just don't know what questions, because I do think that if I ask the right questions, I'll get the right answer, and I might even help her realize that what she's doing is not good for him. It's not something that he enjoys. And without me just constantly saying, you can't be laying on the dog. You can't be licking the dog. Maybe that's my cleanliness thing. But you can't be all over the dog all the time. He needs a break. He needs time to be himself. And I'm afraid that he's going to get really upset with her and do something that she will regret because he's going to be defending himself. So I'm curiosity here, about what questions I could ask to help me figure out what's going on in her head.
Well, so I guess the first question I would ask is, does she really get it, or is it just hyper-focus and immaturity?
Right.
You know, so she's, like, so hyper-focused on being with the dog, the dog, the dog, the dog, the dog, I got to be with the dog, I got to do the dog, I got to do this with the dog, I got to do that with the dog. The part of her that knows that the dog's freaking out because she's all over it, it isn't resonating. So she might just need a tap on the shoulder that says, hey, sweetie, the dog needs a break. Why don't you go run upstairs and do this for me and then come back and play with the dog some more. You know, so it may just be that. And it also may be sometimes our kids can't articulate what it is.
Right.
And so what I said, sometimes we got to get curious with ourselves. And so sometimes what we have to do is just, like, make up things. So I don't know what's going on with her. What are five things that she could be thinking? You know, and just kind of come up with things that could be going on, because that helps you to kind of look at it from different perspectives and go, what if she's, like, really lonely and she feels like the dog's her only friend? Mm-hmm. What if she thinks that the dog is her best friend from a previous life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm making this up, but it's like, you know, you're just kind of trying to brainstorm about what could be going on in her head to help you to figure out how to look at the situation differently. Does that make sense, Carrie?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're getting close to time here. I want to honor everybody's time because it's nighttime for everybody. So let's do our wrap-up, and let's take parting words from anybody. Well, we'll have parting words when you tell us what we're going to do for next week. But so I'm on page 35. Four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to in today's call? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's the realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, answer those four questions for yourself, start to answer those four questions for yourself, and I would love to hear from most of you if we can, or all of you if we can, what was your takeaway and what you're going to do about it. So let me know when you're ready.
Okay, this is Heather. The biggest thing that stood out to me tonight was putting your fear on the back burner, because I constantly do the what-if thing on every single scenario. And I like how you said to create positive stories instead of negative ones. So I don't know. I'm going to write this down and put it somewhere where I can see it every day. I like how you said the question, the world will not end if, and then you can fill in the blank or whatever. That really spoke to me.
Well, and I think that's good, Heather. I think and it's really important to honor the fear, too, and just really know that there's part of you that's really scared, and pretty normal to be scared, and being scared is not helping with the problem solving.
Right.
Cool. Who else?
This is Christina. I sort of don't know where to start with the snack thing, because I'm convinced on some level that the child will never eat or bathe or go to the bathroom. He has just really poor self-regulation. He doesn't really know he's hungry.
My daughter's the same way too.
Yeah.
So if you get curious about why he's not eating a snack, well, he's not eating a snack because he doesn't know that he's hungry. Okay. So If he's not going to remember to eat a snack, how do you solve the problem?
Yeah. He's not going to do it on his own, right?
Yeah.
And nothing we've tried so far has worked, so we've got to just keep working on it.
Well, and so I guess the question is, can you talk to him and figure out, you know, get some level of buy-in? So, you know, is it about mirroring and sharing with him what you notice when he doesn't eat? Is it about, you know, talking to him about how his day went and you know, highlighting something that happened in those moments when he was really hungry? You know, so is it, you know, kind of getting enough buy-in from him that he goes, wow, this is potentially a problem that I'm going to work with you guys to solve? And I don't know kind of where he's at with that.
I may just have to tell him he doesn't get Minecraft unless he shows me empty snack bags. You know, which
well, and
right
that's,
now that's
that may be the way to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Cool. Anybody else?
This is Laura. I think that the thing that really struck me about keeping about the curiosity is how it can change a difficult conversation, keep a difficult conversation on the positive side. And kind of point towards some collaboration between the parties involved. And that can only help things.
So what are you going to do with that?
Well, I'm not going to go in and tell the teacher he's an idiot tomorrow. Right? Because that's what I want to do. And, you know,
right.
And I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to say anything to let him know that that's what I'm thinking either. So I want to know what he has to say. I want to listen to what he has to say, and I hope that he'll listen to us. But we may be at the point where, like, I'm at the point where I want to take my son out of school. So I don't know. You know, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But if I go in as if I'm at work, because, you know, at work I'm an administrator and I have to do this stuff all the time in staff meetings with people who want to kill each other. But when it comes to my kid, I lose all of that. And I go in like a bear. And that's putting the teacher on the defensive. That doesn't work. So
that's a great aha. So if you were going to get curious about yourself, what do you think you need to feel safe enough to let down your guard and let the problem solver in you take over?
Well, that's usually who goes to the meetings at school, the problem solver. But what I need is to believe that the teacher has my child's interest at heart and not just wanting to get him out of his classroom.
Okay.
You know,
what would happen if you just assumed that was true?
If I wrote that story, if I assumed that was true, that the teacher had my child's best interest at heart, then it would be easier to have the conversation tomorrow or Monday, whenever we're having it. You know, I have a just defeated child today.
Yeah.
I just want to go beat up the person who did that.
Of course.
So if he's being bullied by, you know, so it's rough.
Yeah. Well, and any mom would. And you also know that if you can go from a place of curiosity, you know, and all of us think differently when we're triggered, right? And so the problem solver in us shuts down. And sometimes it's time to fight. And you've got to decide when that is. And I was listening, one of the moms on the call yesterday said, that she was in a really difficult 504 meeting where same sort of thing, where the teacher was just not doing it, and she said, I'm going to just stay in curiosity. And it's like, you know, I know you really want my child to do well in your class. What is it that's going on that's making it, you know, that what is it about this 504 accommodation, or why don't we remember the language she is? And she just stayed in that curiosity place. I know you wanted to help him to do well. Every teacher wants to help every kid do well. I mean, that's you know, she just stayed in that. And it really helped her to figure out what was going on and to work with the school to problem solve and come up with a solution that worked for everybody.
Oh, I like that. I like that sentence. I know you want to help him do well, and we want to help him do well. So how can we move forward from here?
Because here's the thing, I don't know. I've had three kids in 7 schools over the last however many years. I've never met a teacher who, I mean, I've met some pretty apathetic teachers, but I've never met a teacher who really just didn't want their kids to do well. Some of them have really difficult situations, but, you know, it definitely helps to kind of keep that mindset of, you know, I know you want to help my kids, and you're doing a pretty shitty job of it. Excuse my French, but you don't say that part. You might think that part. Okay. Who else? Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Thank you.
Who else wants to check out? Lana, what are you going to do?
I really did like what the first person said that was coming up for her, which was this kind of putting the fear of his multiple D's, you know, putting that fear on the back burner and really trying to parent from a place that's less panicked. So I think that might help give us some clarity. You know, he still has 2 more quarters left in the year, and If the learning person at school is helping him and supporting him, she'll be our conduit. She'll tell us if things are still an issue, you know, as the quarter progresses, the new one. So,
20 regular students.
I think it's staying that, you know, staying curious in this way.
Good. All right, Paulette. What about you?
Well, I've taken a few things, and I think the biggest clarity for me is that I need to be in a different place to be curious. And it's going to be a challenge, but I mean, it's, I think, just realizing that to be curious, you have to take away your stress and your wanting to fix things, and so that you ask questions, and but you have to be calm enough to do that, I guess. So,
well, so that goes back, and maybe the exercise, go back and listen to the triggers call, and remember the 4 steps for managing your triggers, and you know, take those deep breaths, drink some water, reclaim your brain, all those things that are so hard to do, but so important in the process. Cool. Anybody else? I don't know who did I miss. I missed Lisa. Probably missed. I don't know who else I missed. Anybody else want to check out?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey. That's all right, Lisa. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, just about the curiosity and stuff, like, of course, I just kind of assuming with my son's teacher that he just has this negative attitude because he wants my son to go on medication, and I'm not going to put him on medicine at this time. And this was, like, kind of something that's been going on for a few months because a few of the other children in the classroom are medicated. And maybe I shouldn't assume that, you know, maybe I can just have another meeting with him. He just is so, you know, I'm just curious. I don't know. I guess I can try to be curious about I don't know, just curious about what his attitude is about. You know, I do go and I talk to him pretty regularly, but so I don't know. I feel kind of like I don't really think it's going to go anywhere. But I can think about it and think about how I can be more curious with his teacher. So and then
Can I plant a seed, Lisa?
Yes.
So even if being curious doesn't come up with a solution with the teacher, I'm wondering whether staying in a place of curiosity will help you to open up to what really is needed and help you come up with a solution that might not, maybe not even involve the teacher, but allows you to kind of stay in that problem-solving mode instead of, you know, kind of more search and destroy, got to fix this mode.
Uh-huh.
Because you're right. You may never change the teacher's mind. And
right.
Like I said to someone earlier, it's like you've got to decide when it is time to defend your kid and when it's time to, you know, to give the teacher the benefit of the doubt. And you may be beyond that at this point. And
mm-hmm.
and you need to make sure that that's going to help. Because
mm-hmm.
ultimately what you want to do is help your child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any final words from anybody? Laura, I got you on mute again. Let me take you off.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Great call tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.